Morning, church. Wow. I needed that worship time. Thank you. Wow. So when I started going to church, or remember when I started going to church, being a part of a church, I was it was at Friendship Church of the Brethren down in southern Baltimore. I think I mentioned this a few weeks back. I went there, kind of was baptized there, kind of did some formative work there. After that, I went to Brethren Volunteer Service, and my ministry start actually happened at the Bridgewater Church of the Brethren in Bridgewater, Virginia, and that was the college church that was there. And I was the junior high youth coordinator, and I was horrible. I was the worst staff member of all time, I guarantee you. I didn't communicate to anybody. I thought I was the stuff. I could do anything. I was the worst. It was the absolute worst. After that, I went to, I was getting ready to go to my final year of school at Bridgewater, and a summer pastorate I took at the Skip Pack Church of the Brethren, which is just close by here, maybe a little bit towards King of Prussia. And there I was their summer pastor, and that was a really weird experience because I was probably like 20 years old, 21 years old, and I had like my own house, and you can imagine what a 20-year-old guy in their own house, what that looked like. It was pretty bad. And I really wasn't that great there either, you know. And we went off to seminary, and at seminary, I connected with a church there called the Happy Corner Church, dear brother. And I've told you all about Happy Corner before. And I met some awesome people there, some great faith builders in there. Went to seminary there. After that, I came back to Maryland and was an associate pastor of worship and witness. I kind of did what Dean does up here, as well as work at the evangelism side of things and the mission side, and I was there for 12 and a half years. It was an amazing 12 and a half years, learned a lot. And then about this time, 4 years ago, I gave my trial sermon here at ECOV, which has been awesome. And I've been serving here for almost 4 years, and this has been an absolutely tremendous place for me. And the reason why I share all these things is because today we're going to be talking about the church. And many of us think about the church as maybe the building or the steeple, but you know that song, the church is not a building, the church is not a steeple, the church is not a resting place, the church is a... Oh, very few of you have heard that song before. It's a little kid's song, right? And it was sung at camp. It goes, the church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. The church is a people. And it goes, I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. All of God's people all around the world. Yes, we're the church together. Thank you. Thank you. All right. That's about all I'm going to do singing today. I'm singing behind the plexiglass for later on. But the point I'm trying to make is that at each point in my life, I was a part of a faith community that encouraged, supported, challenged, held me accountable, walked with me through some very difficult times, but also some times of tremendous blessing. And I do not know where I would be today if I did not have those faith communities along my walk. So today we're going to spend some time reflecting on this very important section of Scripture that talks about being the church. And so I encourage you, if you brought your Bibles with you or you online, to go to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 19 through 22, and we're going to be looking at this pretty in-depthly here this morning. It's important to remember in the beginning of our time here together, though, that the church is not a place where you do things. Neither is a church a building that you come to. The church are people, right? Built together by God, lived out through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so with that kind of foundational knowledge, like that's something that you got to understand. And I tell you what, the season that we have been in has kind of redefined this and helped really pull out this idea of what it means to be the church, right? So we are the church here right now. Those who are online are the church right now. All of you who are online are the church right now. The church is down the street. We are a capital YMC church, all right? We are the church together. The passage that we're looking at today starts with this word, consequently. Now, whenever consequently is used or therefore is used, it's usually in the middle of a thought that somebody is having. In this case, it's Paul. And it's a pretty big hint that we're kind of jumping into the middle of a thought. And so we kind of have to look back a little bit to understand where we're coming from. In verses 11 through 18 of chapter 2, Paul focuses on Jesus' work of reconciliation. And that Jesus' work of reconciliation is bringing together both the Jews and the Gentiles and making them into one new body that he then reconciles to God, right? And the point of these verses is that Jesus came down to tear down, to destroy, and to abolish the barriers that separated us from God. And specifically, Jesus uses the word walls here, that he tears down these walls. And he makes us into one new, united people with his children, as his children. And with all that in mind, Paul says, consequently, which means, like, after you've heard all of this stuff, that we are together, we are supposed to be together, of one unit, one mind, consequently, or here is the result of that. And he lists two specific things. First, that we're fellow citizens, right? And second, that we are members of God's household. And after he shares those two points in verses 20 through 22, he uses this building analogy to communicate the nature of the church. And these verses are some of the most explicit scriptural texts in the Bible regarding the nature of the church. So if you ever want to talk about what exactly the church is, these are your verses to go to. Nothing, I mean, these are the main verses that you go to. So the scripture starts out in verse 19 by having us understand that God has made us a part of his kingdom. It says this: you are no longer foreigners or aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people. See, Paul is primarily writing to the Gentile believers in these verses. And here he returns to this thought that he raised up in verse 12, where he described how those Gentiles were excluded from the citizenship in Israel, and they were foreigners of the covenant of the promise of God. But the point he's making here is that really doesn't matter, because now they are new citizens in the kingdom of God, right? And that is far superior than the kingdom of Israel. And so when we choose to be followers of Jesus, we automatically become citizens of God's kingdom. And that citizenship comes with its privileges, and it comes with its responsibilities, right? We get the privilege, because of Jesus' sacrifice for us, that we can be forever connected with God. And in being connected with God, we are connected to a body of faith, of people who believe in the same things, and we are encouraged and we grow in our discipleship. And at the same time, we have a responsibility, right, to live a life worthy of the calling that God has for us, becoming more like Jesus. And we also have a responsibility to fully participate in the life of the body, right? We have a responsibility to provide, to share our time and our talent, our resources that are needed to maintain and advance the kingdom of God. You see, friends, as a consequence of what Christ has done, we are no longer on the outside. Can I get an amen for that? I'm glad I'm not on the outside. We are no longer foreigners. We are no longer aliens. We are no longer on the outside. And now, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, you'll remember that there's a temple in Jerusalem, right? And it's the place where physically God dwelt. He would dwell in the Holy of Holies. It was like only one person, one time a year, could ever go in that space, right? It's the Holy of Holies. And before the building of that temple, there was a tabernacle or another kind of meeting place, where it's called the Tent of Meeting. And they believed that God's presence was actually there. It was actually in that space. Now, if you look at this, you'll see the temple building, right? And you see the priest's court, and then you see the court of Israel. And then you would see kind of off to the side, away from the temple a little bit, the court of women, sorry, ladies. And then you would see kind of these inner courts, and then you would see the court of the Gentiles, right? And so the significance of this is that, and I would need to point this out, because the Gentiles could not go any further than their spot, right? They had to be right there. And so they forbid any kind of Gentiles to enter into this space. And actually, we know from archaeological evidence that there's inscriptions on the pillars of the temple that forbid them going any further unless they would be put to death. I mean, so they were not allowed to go any closer to this. And so with Paul in mind, he says, you once were aliens and foreigners, right? You could not even come close to God. You were once aliens and foreigners, but now, I love that word in the Bible, but now you are fellow citizens, right? It was because of Jesus that they could enter the place where God was, where God is. It was because of the sin atonement of the cross that they're no longer barriers from being a citizen of the kingdom of God. I mean, being a citizen means you belong, right? I mean, that the place is home to you. It means that you're entitled to all the rights and the freedoms and privileges of that society. And that all sounds really good, doesn't it? I mean, nothing compares to the right of being fellow citizens in the kingdom of God, where the most significant result is that God himself, through the Spirit, dwells with us. I mean, and that's the next image that Paul writes about. You see, Paul moves from this national image of kind of the citizenship to a very personal one. He moves from the large-scale citizenship to kind of an intimate scale, members of the household. See, God has made you part of a new family. And we've seen this theme already throughout Ephesians. It says in Ephesians 5 that God has adopted us as his children. It says in Ephesians 1:13 that we are included with Christ. 1:14, it says that the Holy Spirit guarantees an inheritance. It says that we've been seated, in 2:6, it says that we've been seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. In 2:15, it says Christ tore down the walls and he made us one. And the point is that the church is God's family, that we have been included in God's household with all the rights and the privileges that come with that. Most of all, I think the second image that we have here about being a part of the household of God as an intimate one. It's about intimacy and belonging together. And in the beginning of Ephesians chapter 1, Paul wrote, when see, God chose us to be adopted into his family. And as great as it is to be a citizen of the kingdom of God, an even better part of it is to be a part of his family, right? I mean, look at how John describes the greatness of being God's children. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, he says, how is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God? Will you read that with me? How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God? You are a child of God. You are part of God's family. That blows my mind. It blows my mind that you are a part of God's. I get to be a part of the creator of the universe's family. I mean, how amazing is that? And all of you, I get to have my brothers and sisters with me as well. That's even better. Most know. All of you. I love it. I love it. And I started thinking about, as I was looking through this verse, I started thinking about, like, what's it like to be a part of my family? Now, some of you be like, oh, no. Some of you, yeah, it's all right. You know, what's it like to be a part of Brian's family? Well, my family is a place where the characteristics of my parents were passed down to me. And it developed my life, right? And that includes the genetic traits, right? Which, of course, you know, but perhaps more importantly, it included the kind of characters that my parents demonstrated in their lives and the things that I have learned from. Things that I value, like hard work, sacrificing one's own needs for the desires and the benefits of the others, honoring others, forgiveness, perseverance. You know, a family is also a place where we experience the deepest intimacy on earth. The relationships between a husband and a wife, right? I mean, parents and children, brothers and sisters provide a far greater opportunity for intimacy than any other relationship that we have. Our church family presents those same kinds of benefits when it comes to our relationship with God. See, the church is a place where Christian brothers and sisters help me to cultivate the characteristics that my Heavenly Father want me to have, right? And that you all are passing down those characteristics and mentoring me in my discipleship of Jesus Christ. And the church is a place where we can develop deep, meaningful, intimate relationships that far surpass anything that I could even engage with outside of these walls, right? And our common bond to Jesus Christ is far stronger than any force, than anything else that might connect us with somebody else. God does not create spiritual orphans. He does not create spiritual orphans, and he wants us to be together in this journey as a family of believers focused on his eternal glory, right? And this passage talks about the church. See, God wants us to be home. It's his home. And in point of verse 22, it's to be our home also. See, we become the church by showing love and care for one another actively, persistently, tenaciously, fearlessly if needed. We spend time together far more than just running for a worship service on a Sunday morning. Our church family is not to be a drive-through church when we feel like we just can participate whenever we want to, that it makes us feel good, or when we get something out of it. We are to get engaged with one another, challenging, discipling, and encouraging one another. We need to be real with one another. We need to take risks of letting others know our hurts and our flaws so that we can truly love and care for each other and walk with one another. God has made us through Christ to be a part of a new kingdom and to live out that calling together. As followers of Christ, we have a spiritual family here. And yeah, just like our mortal families, our spiritual families will have disagreements. They will have times of challenges and perhaps a few awkward people in them. I don't know about your family. Whew. And just like our mortal families, our spiritual ones are to encourage us and support us and celebrate with us and help us in all different seasons of our lives. You know, it's a great image that Paul uses here to teach us about how the church is to function. But Paul doesn't stop there. See, the rest of the passage describes the household of God with building metaphors running throughout it. It talks about the foundation, and it talks about the cornerstone, and it talks about each of us as bricks. And God makes us part of his building program. Man, I can't wait till this building program's done. But God makes us part of his building program. And verse 20 starts off by saying that the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now, here is what we start talking about, the foundation of the building. And most of us would expect, well, that's to be God, right? I mean, God's to be the foundation. But that's not what Paul's saying here. He's saying the apostles and the prophets are the foundation. But in fact, when we talk about these two terms, apostles and prophets, we have to understand what it means. See, the apostles were the witnesses, the actual witnesses of Christ's death and resurrection, including Jesus' original disciples and perhaps a slightly larger circle there, and that included Paul. Similarly, the prophets were people in the early church who used their gift of prophecy of founding the church in a very specific way. Now, we do not have any of these apostles or foundational prophets anymore. We do not have that today, but we do have their record. And that's called the scriptures, right? They are the foundation in which we are built on today. And so that's why it's so crucial in my mind that we remain central to the scriptures in everything that we do here at ECOB. When Paul refers to the apostles and the prophets, he's describing those like himself that were the authoritative recipients and proclaimers of God's revelation in Christ. And the principle that Paul is laying out for us here is that the church is to be built on the accurate and authoritative proclamation of the gospel of Jesus. For us, that's the Word of God. It's the Bible, which consists of all of the writings of the apostles and prophets that have been passed on to us. So the foundation that Paul is talking about here for us this morning is that the scriptures, the gospel of Jesus, is the foundation in which his church has been built on. And then we move to the second image. And the second image is of Jesus being the cornerstone. And we kind of know it's Jesus because he says it, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. That's pretty simple to understand, right? And it says this, in him, the whole building has been joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And to understand this point, we have to understand something about building a house or a building. The important part of a structure is the chief or the first cornerstone. It was carefully chosen. It is the strongest and the truest, and it was the one that was laid down first. And Paul was undoubtedly thinking of Herod's temple in Jerusalem as he was writing this. The size of that cornerstone was like a railroad boxcar. It was huge, 570 tons of weight. It was a gigantic stone, right? And the cornerstone was the most important part of that building. It was established the point from which the rest of the building would be constructed, and it had a sense that the whole building was being held together by that one cornerstone. It set the direction, right? The walls came out horizontally and they came out vertically. I mean, it supported the weight and tied the rest of the structure together. And that's exactly who Jesus is for us as a church. He's the one who holds us together and ties us together. He's the point in which we always go back to, that all of our weight lean on, that all of who we are lean on him. It ties us together. It holds us together. And that's why verse 21 tells us, in him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. See, Jesus is that tie that ties us all together. But see, Jesus is more than just a cornerstone. He is the means by which all of the individual stones are being joined. See, Jesus makes all things work for God and his glory. He builds the church, and he takes a bunch of bricks that may not be good on their own, and he fits them together as the master builder. In order to do that, he might have to chisel away some parts of the bricks or cut out some parts of our blocks that would distract us from this beautiful finished product that he wants to have for his Father. And although Jesus is concerned with individual bricks, his overall purpose is to create a building that will bring glory to God and himself. The apostles and the prophets, they're our foundation, right? Christ is the cornerstone. And if you know the answer to this, I want you to raise your hand. What makes up the walls? Anybody? The bricks, right? And who are the bricks? We are, right? You're a bunch of brickheads, blockheads, right? I mean, I call you crackpots and blockheads. That's what a great pastor I am. But we are all the bricks, right? I mean, in him, you are being built together. In him, you are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. See, the picture is of these individual bricks each being put into place. I can see Jesus doing this, putting a brick here, chiseling off some spots, putting another one in. That's you and I. You and I are these bricks, and each brick being placed somewhere in the wall becomes the church, becomes the dwelling place of God. And we look at what God is building out of us, right? It says in verse 21 that he's building a holy temple in the Lord. He's building a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. I mean, that's incredible. That's amazing to me that we are being built together to be the church. And friends, when we're not a part of the church, that's a hole in the wall that we're leaving, right? I mean, God himself is living in us, and he's building us to become this holy temple together. As I've said previously, the very moment that we become a follower of Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we're baptized, the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we know that God will deliver all of the promises that he has said to us. But here at the end of chapter 2, Paul has a little bit of a different focus, right? All of the words translated in this, consequently, you are no longer foreigners, right? And in him, you too are being built together. All of the yous in here are plural, right? And so it's not just you, Kim, or you, Trish. It's y'all, right? I mean, it's all of us. You, all of you, right? Do you know that you yourselves, all of you, are God's temple and that the Spirit of God lives in you? Do you know that? Do you understand that? Now, look at the word temple. The word temple is a singular thing. All of us, y'all, are God's temple. And Paul's making a very clear point here that there's only one temple that encompasses everyone. So whether it's Ephrata Church of the Brethren, whether it's Salem Evangelical Lutheran, or whether it's Alive Church or ECC or Dove or LCBC or whoever else, y'all are being put together to be the church. There's not a Ephrata Church of the Brethren temple and a Salem Evangelical Lutheran temple. It's y'all, everybody, is the temple. We are all joined together into one spiritual temple where God dwells by his Spirit. See, God does not create individual Christian blocks which are designed to exist on their own. For every follower of Jesus has been designed to be joined together with other believers in this beautiful spiritual temple called the church, where God lives and he works. Right? If you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, if you consider yourself a follower of Christ here this morning, I need you to know this. The church is not here for you. want you to think about that for a second. The church is not here for you. You are here to give praise to God. Boom. You are here to give praise to God. You are here for the church. You are here for the faith community. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Ask not what your church can do for you, but what you can do for your... No, no. Ask not what your church can do for you, but what you can do for your... Yes. Yeah. Your faith community, this church, the capital YMC, the capital C church, is here for this world to bring about and to radiate the transformative power of Jesus in this world. And your faith community, this church, ECOB, is part of a large group of other Christians that are here to bring about the gospel of Christ in this world. Jesus did not die to make you a sanctified consumer. Ow. Jesus did not die to make you a sanctified consumer. He died to bring you alive in God and then out into a very desperate world that needs to know what you know and needs to feel what you feel, to needs to know what I felt back there when we were worshiping. The world needs that. So where does your brick fit in? Right? We're an exciting time as a church. I know many people think like we're in this COVID stuff and we're just like, this is the worst time at all to be the church. I think this is the best time to be the church right now. I think we are an exciting time as a congregation. I believe we're an exciting time as a capital C church. I believe we are an exciting time as a body of believers, as an individual follower of Jesus. I am excited about what it is. I believe beyond any shadow of a doubt that God has brought this church for this moment of time, that God has given us gifts and abilities and talents and resources and has called us to use them in service for God's kingdom here on earth. But each brick needs to be in its place, right? And where does yours fit? You know, in any household, including mine, there are privileges and there are responsibilities. We all are to learn where our brick fits in and how we contribute to the body of believers, the church, the faith community in which we live. We have a responsibility to serve God in this kingdom wherever God leads us. And the tricky part, the fun part, the aggravating part, the joyful part, the annoying part, and the celebratory part is that we all get to do this together, right? Together in our brokenness, in our woundedness, in our spirit living, we are being built. What does the scripture say? To become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. None of us make up the church alone. I've been preaching this for 3 years. Are you getting this? Is this starting to resonate with us here? I mean, we need each other, you know? All of the bricks need to be there to form the wall, right? To be built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets as recorded in God's word, with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. As a result, there will be a structure that will be created that will be so strong anything that is thrown against it will be demolished, that the wall will always remain. So friends, welcome to ECOB. This is who we're going to be from now on. I'm done. We are ready to be the church in this community. And this is a place where we believe that we are a body of people that connect to, grow in, live out, and radiate the transformative power of Jesus. And that it is not just ECOB that is doing this. We want all of the churches in this area to be a beacon of light in this world. You belong here. Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, we do thank you for the hope that is found in you. We thank you, Lord God, for the joy that is found in your salvation. We thank you, Lord God, for knowing that we are not doing this alone, that we are able to do this in such a way that honors you and celebrates you and reflects your glory and reflects your hope and reflects your joy and reflects your love in this world. And Lord God, we know that in the midst of all of our questions, in the midst of all of our anxieties or fears or brokenness, that God, we know that we can always rely on the church to pull us back, to moor us back into who you are and who you call us to be. God, you have set your chief cornerstone in a space that just ties us all together. And we pray, Lord God, that we will constantly look back at that cornerstone because it is strong, it is true, and it's the thing that holds us all together, Lord God. And we know that when we do that, when we return to our foundational cores of the scripture and we turn to the cornerstone and we grab all of these bricks and we're being built into this great, wonderful temple of the Lord, Lord God, that it is in that temple, it is in that holy space that you are there, that you are walking in our midst, that you are challenging us and encouraging us and celebrating with us, Lord God. So may that hope, that joy of the salvation be founded in you, Lord God. And may everything that we say, everything we do, every word just radiate your glory in this world. God, we're not just another brick in the wall. We are tied together with brothers and sisters to be a holy temple for you, Lord God. So may we recognize the power of being together. May we recognize the holiness of carrying your word into this world. And God, may we recognize what it means to be disciples of your son, Jesus. For we pray these things and we name in the powerful name of the one who gives us life in abundance, Jesus the Christ. And all God's people said, Amen.